Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Petitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. And I'm here, thankfully, with my Presbytera Katarina, who had... Say something, Presbytera.
Oh, hello.
It's always a blessing to be on the air. We've been on the air together how many years now,
Presbytera? It's at least five.
I think over five, huh? It started in December, I think, of 5 years ago. So this has been a blessing for us, but it only works if we have listeners. So we are looking to you for interesting topics. The topic we've chosen for now is difficult sayings of the Bible, but more specifically, difficult sayings of Jesus. And we spoke for the past 2 weeks about judge not, lest you be judged. But today we want to talk about something... That seems kind of light, really. It says, Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very difficult. But, looking forward to hearing about that, Father Paul.
Saturday from 8 to 5, 1120 East Valley Drive. Power tools and a few guitars. Atari and some vintage matchbox cars. And a new bass boat. Everything must go. I ain't broke. And I ain't dying, I just felt like simplifying. Flat screen TV, recliner chair, broken in real good from sitting there. You better bring some rope, 'cause everything must go. Finally got it figured out. Crowding up my soul. What's the cost of living free? What I own, what owns me? Make a little room for love to grow. And a stereo. Everything must go. Bow and arrows, croquet set.
What a great song, Presbytera, you chose for opening our discussion today. And that is who, Presbytera? Who's our artist today?
Sorry, there. It's Brandon Heath, and he's a very good songwriter.
He is amazing. It's amazing to me that songs like that aren't the top songs in the whole country. They're so well written, as opposed to songs that just say, I, you, and me, and love. And I think the lyrics are pretty much the same for so many songs. But anyway, beautiful, beautifully written. What we're talking about today are some of the difficult sayings of Jesus, specifically the difficult sayings of the Bible. And today we're looking at this interesting quote from the Bible, from the New Testament. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if you've read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you've read them studiously, and you wrote or underlined every word that Jesus said, and some of the Bibles that when I was growing up, they used to have all the words of Jesus in red. And so you'd look for all those words. You will not find this saying in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. And yet, it's a pretty important statement. Wouldn't you say, Presbytera?
Well, yeah.
So where is it hiding?
That's right. And I think that's what you're here for. You're going to tell us.
Well, it's in the book of Acts. Now, we don't often think of the book of Acts as having any quotes from Jesus because Jesus has already risen from the dead. But of course, There are quotes from Jesus in the Book of Acts, but this is the specific one that most people miss. And so what I want to do is read a little bit the context of the saying, and then you'll know who said it, I think. Now, this is St. Paul speaking. He's in verse 28, it says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So he is giving some farewell advice to pastors or presbyters of the church who are going to be responsible for raising people well in the church life after he leaves from them. And he in verse 32, he continues, "So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So these are his very final words as he's going to be departing from them. And you couldn't imagine, you know, how is that going to lead to this verse? But I'll continue. "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel," he says. "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands," his own hands, "have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So that was the last word that he said in this little sermon to the leaders of the church as he was departing from them. I think it's in Ephesus that this took place. And he says, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." So this was the very last moment that Paul saw these beautiful leaders of the church, and he gave them this word, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And he says this is a word that Jesus said. So I think it's important for us to look at it. It might not be in the Gospels, it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but it's an important passage for us to study today.
God's love abides.
God's love abides
in forest green.
In forest green,
where sparrows sing and flutter.
Where sparrows sing and flutter,
praising their maker. So it seems doxologies they offer.
Doxologies they offer.
Their altar shines.
Their altar shines.
All way up there. Christ himself has adorned it.
Christ himself has adorned it.
Nightingales soaring in the air and thanking him who formed it.
And thanking him who formed it.
To sing with them.
To sing with them.
My heart longs so.
My heart longs so.
Hymns of praise and thanksgiving.
Hymns of praise and thanksgiving.
Grant this, O Master, for I go. From sins my soul is aching.
From sins my soul is aching.
Life simply lived.
Life simply lives.
Has great rewards.
Has great rewards.
Ask any bird, he'll tell you.
Ask any bird, he'll tell you.
Nothing is mine but is the Lord's. Open your hearts, he'll fill you.
Open your hearts, he'll fill you.
Mountains and plains.
Mountains and plains.
All clouds above.
All clouds above.
Oceans and rivers flowing.
Oceans and rivers flowing.
All created out of his love.
Well, that's Father Christodoulos singing with us, and from the Children of St. Demetrius Church from some years ago, St. Demetrius in Rocky River, Ohio. Beautiful recording. So, Presbytera, we're talking about it is more blessed to give than to receive, and you chose that beautiful musical passage. How did you see that relating to the topic today? Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that we saw that all of the things that God gives us are so generous toward us and toward human beings, that we see his creation, and we see the wonderful things, the works of his creation. Is that what you were thinking when you chose it?
Well, when we have everything that God has to give us, there isn't any reason why we can't be generous ourselves. So as we count and think about everything that we have in our lives as given to us by God, we can pretend that God doesn't have anything to do with that. Of course, if we steal something, we know that he asked us not to. He commands us not to do that sort of thing. But if we have, through our prayer, through living an honest life, whatever we have, we understand that it was given to us by the Lord in some way or fashion, just because he gave us every resource that is here on this planet. So there isn't any reason why we can't forward that to somebody else when we're doing that. Of course, it's more blessed because God gave to us, we give to others. When we give, we behave like God.
Yeah, so there you are. I have this article which we're pulling some ideas from called 10 Reasons Why It's More Blessed to Give Than to Receive, and it's written by Mr. David Murray, who's a professor of Old Testament and Practical Theology at a Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. And so we don't want to not credit him for his work. But you just listed number three. He says, giving exhibits God's heart. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, as we read in the gospel, in the letter of James, James chapter 1, verse 17. And as his image bearers, we are called to copy his giving, to be many pictures of his infinitely large heart. We would say in our theology, to be icons of his large heart. And the larger our heart and the wider our hands, the larger the picture we paint of God's character, so that people are going to have a good impression of God when we are generous with money. Because when we hold on to for our things, the things that God has given us, as if they're only for us, of course, that's a very selfish kind of way. But when we share them, not looking at the negative, looking at the positive, when we share them, we have this open heart of love toward others. And so you said it so beautifully, Presbyter, that we become like God when we share. So that's one of the primary reasons, I suppose, to be that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
What are some of the other reasons that they have listed?
Well, one is kind of simple. He says God gave it as a commandment, you know. But it's not really a commandment. It's one of almost like the Beatitudes, you know. Blessed are the poor, and blessed are those who mourn.
In other words, if you want to be blessed, you can do this.
Yes, if you want to be blessed, you can do this. And I think that a lot of times we think God doesn't talk about money or anything like possessions. He doesn't really talk about those things. But certainly he does, and this is one of the examples where he does. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not just, of course, food. It's not just clothing. It's also our wealth, our money. And so that's an important thing, that we're obeying God. He's, or at least following his very explicit suggestion, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Another thing he says is that we submit to God's lordship. That when we follow, when we are obedient to God, it's a way to show to God that we honor and respect him. And I think that's a very solid point.
Well, that's kind of tangential, though, to the other things that he's saying. I mean,
yes. It's not as central as the one that you mentioned, which is that we become godlike when we do that. That's probably the most central one. But I think that it's worth us examining, because we have our own experiences of life, and we certainly know that there have been times when we had to ask ourselves, can we really give to this person, or can we really help this situation? You know, we know our own situation. We know our own bank account, what's in there and what's not in there, the checking account. Can we help? And most of the time, I would say, you know, not all the time, but most of the time, and you've been so good at that, Presbyter, over the years, you say, Father Paul, don't worry about it. God always gives it back. And that's probably another reason it's blessed to give than receive. You have to kind of live by faith. You know, you have to trust that God's going to take care of you. And he has that as number five.
And that's really nice, because really, if you, when you see that the Lord is taking care of you, when you take care of others, that does feel really blessed.
Yes, there's a happiness to it, because certainly that person who came to you with a need leaves happier. I mean, that's the hope anyway. And then you feel also this sense that God is going to hold you up. He's going to take care of you. And so you feel happier. And then depending on the level of our own spirituality and relationship with God, sometimes God is kind and gives us a response. Let's say we give away, I don't know, just to throw out a number. Let's say I give away $100. And the very next day, someone gives me $100, you know. That might be an example. And so I thought, wow, I trusted God, and look, the money came back to me. And when we're of an infant faith, just beginning, that might happen. God does those kinds of little miracles to encourage us and say, don't worry, you know, trust me. But when we get a little farther in the faith, and maybe we don't get that immediate response, you know, okay, we helped this person $200 or $500, whatever. But now we have to wait a little bit to get the reward. Right. Or maybe it comes later, or maybe it doesn't come at all. Maybe God says, no, you don't need as much as you think you need, and you're going to be okay. In our lives, too, as priests and presbyterians, many times I've seen that God says, you know, I've got it covered. So we give away something, but then some other need that we thought, well, we got a budget for that. It's going to cost so many hundreds of dollars to fix this or fix that. Suddenly, after we gave the gift, we find a solution that's maybe a fraction of that cost, you know. So it isn't God putting money in our pocket per se, but he might give us wisdom to find another way to solve a problem that saves us some money.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not always about money. Lots of times it's about other things like love, education, other things. So sometimes we can be stingy with the knowledge. We want to be the ones who are in control of a group or something like that. Instead of sharing the joy of leadership, sometimes we just, you know, we want to be the king or the queen. And then we find that whatever organization we're in doesn't really thrive because there hasn't been a foundation of sharing.
Well, that's certainly a good point, but I'm not sure if I want to focus on that yet, only because...
Is that coming up?
Yeah, well, St. Paul, in speaking about it, is definitely speaking about money, you know. He says, look, I provided for myself, you know, and I showed you how important it is to support the weak. But right. He's not saying that we shouldn't support our priestly ministers, you know, or the pastors and so forth to take care of us in our parishes. But we should, in other words, we say, hey, you know, let him work. But let him be like St. Paul and just work for his living. I mean, that is certainly an option for some. But what he is saying is that we have a responsibility to use the goods that God gives us to support those who are weak. So it's not what you said, actually, I think is just an expansion on that concept, saying, look, yes, it applies to money, but it can also apply to other things. And that's certainly helpful. Here's another thing that says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. This is, again, we're reading from David Murray. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. It delights him to see his people gladly opening their hearts. So that connects us back to the first thing that you said, Presbyteria, that we become like God. Well, when we take steps, even their baby steps, to become like God by sharing what he has first given us, that certainly makes God's love for us increase because we're trying to be like him. And that's a happy thing.
It is. Shall we do another song?
Yes, please.
Okay.
It all belongs to is live my love in every part, only to please my father's heart.
What a lovely, lovely song. Instead, how do you find these songs week after week? I don't know how you do it. I listen to music all the time, and I can never remember one song to the next. So what? Who is the artist this time, President?
This is Rachel Lampa, and we don't usually play her too much because her background music tends to be more like club music or dancing music. So we don't play her too often, but this was one that's on her album that we happen to have, and she's a beautiful voice, and we discovered her, so to speak, for our family when we were living in New Mexico still, and yeah. Rachel Lampa.
Rachel Lampa, thank you for that, President. So she is, of course, is speaking about everything I have to give is first God's, which is a quote, not that she would know this, but is a quote from our divine liturgy. One of the most sacred parts of our divine liturgy. Well, if you don't know about the divine liturgy, you're not going to understand this, but basically the divine liturgy focuses on the meal of bread and wine that Christ shared with his disciples at the Last Supper. And we enter into that again at every divine liturgy. And at one point, the priest takes the gifts which have been consecrated, they've become the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and he raises them up and he offers them to God. And in that moment, he is the priest, he is the icon or the image of Christ, the high priest. God the Father in heaven, God the Son, of course, always in heaven with the Father, but in this moment, as the one who offers himself on the cross for the salvation of the world, and God the Holy Spirit holding them all together, holding us together with God. And he says these words, the priest says, "Thine own of thine own we offer unto thee on behalf of all and for all," which is sometimes translated, "Your own gifts of your own." In other words, whatever we're offering you, first you gave it to us. "On behalf of all and in thanksgiving for all things." So the most important moment of the liturgy is this offering to God what he gave himself, his own son, offering his perfect sacrifice for the salvation of the world.
A long intro here, or quiet intro. This is Fernando Ortega.
Open my lips, I will sing your praise forever. Open my lips, oh I will sing your praise forever. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, these you will not despise. Sing your praise forever.
Daniel Ortega, you said?
Fernando Ortega.
Oh, sorry, Fernando Ortega. Is that another one we picked up in New Mexico, or did that?
No, we actually were introduced to him when we were still living in Cleveland.
Interesting. Well, we've talked about quite a few of these 10 reasons why it's more blessed to give than to receive, but one of them we just spoke about now, and that is it illustrates God's salvation. In other words, at the heart of the gospel is the sacrificial self-giving of God to man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God, at his heart, is a giving God. He's a giving God. So when we give, it's blessed. We become like God, but we also remember his sacrifice for us. So that's something we want to hold on to, too. And then I like this one. This is number seven. So we've actually gotten through all the way up to number seven now.
Nice.
Number seven says, giving advances God's kingdom. Now, here's how this David Murray says it. He said, look, one way or the other, each one of us has helped the Apple company grow because we bought an iPad or we bought one of those iPods, what I think they used to call them. They don't even make them anymore. We bought an iPhone or we invested in an Apple computer of some sort. And he says, it's great that the company grew and it's touched a lot of people and made a difference in the world and the advanced technology, blah, blah, blah. But imagine, he says, when we advance God's kingdom with our giving. And I think that's something we forget. You know, we expect our little parish to only take care of our people, whoever those, what we mean by our people, whoever it is that happens to be in our little parish, in our case, Western Springs in Auckland. But really, the church is a church universal, and there's a need to grow it and help people all over the world who don't know about Jesus Christ. I mean, have we thought, for instance, of the people in Pakistan who are trying to come to know God, or the people who are in Mongolia who are trying to learn about Jesus Christ, or the people who are in Tibet, you know, who might be seeking to know about Jesus Christ? Who is there to serve them? How will they receive the message? And when we're able to give to support the work of the church, what a blessing, really. Someone recently from Greece, I'll just say his first name, Antonios, sent me a slew of prayer ropes, you know, hundreds. I don't want to say 100. It was maybe more than 100, 200 maybe. And we've been giving away slowly. And I think this Antonios has no idea how many people he's blessing because they have something concrete that they can have on their wrist or hold in their hand and say to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And to repeat that prayer again and again in their lives and to feel his presence. And so how blessed for Antonios to give us that gift that we could share with others to multiply the gift and advance God's kingdom. Presidenta, we're coming, I think, close to the end of our program today, as always.
It was a nice show, Father.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's always better when I'm with you. You know, I've sometimes tried to do without you, but that's just because our lives takes different ways, but
it's always better when I'm working with you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's just to finish this beautiful article by David Murray, giving promotes God's sanctification. He says giving money, especially when it pains us, requires self-denial and self-crucifixion, and that helps us to be sanctified. Great point. You have to give till it hurts, they used to say. But in hurting, it hurts us. Why? Because we didn't trust that God will take care of us, or we didn't trust that it really belonged to God. But when we give it, that hurting helps us to have the salve of the reality that, yes, God is going to take care of us. And then we start to grow. Giving testifies to God's power. It's an interesting thought. It says this must be the real deal for people to give away so much of their own money. They must really believe in this stuff. So in the early church, people had to give their blood. Now we're just asked to give our money. And of course, our time and our dedication. But really, it does give a witness when we share our resources for the upbuilding of Christ's church. What a beautiful thing that is. And giving praises God's character. Giving in the right spirit, he says, is an act of worship. That's why we pass a tray in church. It's not because we're collecting because you have to pay for today's service. It's a way to praise and worship him. You've given me everything there is. Here's a small expression of my gratitude in praise back to you for all your good gifts. As always, we'd like you to know this is a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. And I look forward to listening in again soon.